Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing questioning God. You know, there are many who are quick to call into question God's love because hell exists and that people are going there.
So, Bill, what are they not understanding or what are they missing to think that way?
Well, several things, but they are bringing God down to human standards of what we think is good. You know, God is not a human with human standards. God is holy, perfect, and just. His standard of good is much higher than ours. You know, James 2:10 says, if we offend his law in one point, we're guilty of all. If we lie once, if we steal one thing, if we have one lustful thought, if we have one foolish thought, that would exclude us from heaven. So that's a high standard. You know, but also Deuteronomy 32:4 says that he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So God is righteous, God is holy, God is just, and hell is just.
You know, Bill, also many do not realize how exceedingly sinful sin is to God, as Romans 7:13 states.
That's right.
You know, and people fail to understand the magnitude of Christ's sacrifice and suffering upon the cross. I mean, Bill, some think God is mean for making hell.
Right. Well, remember, he is the one who suffered a horrible death for you on the cross to keep you out. You know, and also me, of course. But he proved his love for us in that he died for all men to be saved. So he proved his love. You know, also, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels and not for man. The Bible tells us clearly how to stay out of hell and warns us of its horrors. You know, God warned Adam and Eve he would die if he disobeyed him. And this meant not only to die physically, but spiritually. Now, spiritual death is separation from God. Man chose to believe the lie of the devil instead of the truth from his loving Father.
Yeah, that's a good point. And today, many choose to ignore God's repeated warnings about hell and deliberately and knowingly plunge ahead in their sin. They foolishly think there will be no accountability for their actions.
That's right.
And some, you know, like Romans 1 talks about, they did know. And
right.
They did it anyways. They enjoyed their sin anyways.
Right. They plunge forward in their sin and mock God.
Yes, it's so true. And God put it in man's heart. You know, he put eternity in man's heart, right? As Ecclesiastes
right.
says, I don't remember right. if that's chapter 2 or 3.
I think it's 3:11.
Okay, yes. So God is so gracious, he puts that in man's heart to know right from wrong and eternity in man's heart and gives him a conscience.
Right. So man knows better.
And then Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. It reminds me of that verse as well.
Right, right. You know, in addition, you wouldn't say that the leaders of our country were mean for constructing prisons. No, of course not. You don't have to go there. It's your choice. You know, the lawbreakers have to be punished and kept apart from harming the law abiders. This is why we need prisons. Well, hell, in turn, is to punish the breakers of God's law. And, of course, Satan and his demons.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So
since God is holy, he cannot dwell with sin. So man had to be separated from him.
Right.
And any place apart from God would be evil and absent from all good. And that's what hell is. All good comes only from God, as James 1:17 states.
That's right. That's right.
And hell is a place prepared for the devil, Matthew 25:41, where all of God's goodness and attributes are removed.
Right. That's why hell's so horrible. God has removed his goodness or his attributes.
And Bill, some want to find fault with God for making man in the first place. I mean, since he knew many would go to hell, as Jesus said in Matthew 7.
Right. But, you know, he made man because he also knew many would go to heaven and would appreciate and enjoy what he did for them. You know, look at it this way. It would be like saying or asking, why does Detroit make cars since they know many drunk drivers will kill themselves and others? No, that would be an irrational and unwarranted question. The reason being, why should all those who don't drink and drive be denied the pleasure and convenience of owning a car? Why should we have to suffer for their stupidity? You know, it's the same with heaven and hell. Why should we be denied God's goodness because of those who reject it?
Yes, good analogy. Also, you know, God wanted a family, and his nature is to bless. He loves his children. He wanted a family that he could show his goodness to.
That's right.
And that would be all of us who's put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And some question also, Bill, God's goodness as to why he placed the devil in the garden, knowing he would tempt man.
You know, God loved Adam and Eve, and the only way man could show that he loves God is by his obedience. Man has to have a choice to obey or not. To truly love would be to allow someone to have the ability to choose. God gave man a free will, and a free will carries with it responsibility. You know, there are consequences for our decisions. Man chose to believe the devil and not God, even though he was told that his disobedience would bring death.
That's true. You know, and some state that God would be vindictive in not allowing a person out of hell after a certain time.
Well, first of all, we need to realize whom we have sinned against. You know, God is infinitely greater than man. And, you know, if someone killed a dog or a cat, they would be deserving of some amount of punishment. However, if they killed a human being, that would be far worse and deserving of a much greater punishment. Well, we have sinned against a holy, omnipotent, perfect, eternal God, and he is the supreme being. Therefore, our sin against him is deserving of eternal punishment.
And then in addition, if our time spent in hell was sufficient to pay for sins, then that would represent works. We'd be working our way out of hell.
Right.
So in other words, we paid off our sins. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 that we are saved by grace and not by works. So time would represent works, and time is the wrong premise.
That's right. You know, also our time is not valuable enough to pay for sins. Only the shed blood of Jesus is valuable enough to pay for our sins, as Hebrews 9:22 states. You know, it's not based on time, but on a relationship.
You know, it's so true. And, you know, all the other religions of the world, none of them deal with the sin issue.
Right.
Only Christianity did somebody come and pay for your sins and die in your place and then also rose from the dead.
Right.
And conquered sin and death and
right.
hell.
That makes Christianity very unique.
Yes. And, you know, God gave our salvation to us freely if we would trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross. You know, you can see that in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Titus 3, 5, Galatians 2, 16, and Galatians 3, 22. And it's not of our works.
Right.
And Bill, you know, also some ask, why would God send a good person to hell?
Well, first of all, God is not sending anyone to hell. It's their choice, as we will just look at ahead. But besides, there are no good people according to God. Romans 3:10 through 12 says there is not even one person that is good. No, not one. Psalms 143:2 says, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Then go on. There's Job 15:16.
Yeah, that says, how much less man who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water. And Isaiah 64:6 says, man's good works are as filthy rags. And you said earlier, James 2:10, if we break the law in just one point, we are guilty of all.
That's right.
And lastly, this is a really high standard. Proverbs 24:20 says, the thought of foolishness is a sin. So that is an unachievable standard. Even the thought of foolishness would keep us out of heaven.
That is a high standard. So no one can stand before God and say, hi, I'm good.
Yes.
No, not according to God's standard. And also, this analogy might help us understand why our good falls immensely short of God's standard of good. You know, if you were viewing some white sheep grazing on a green hillside, those sheep would appear to be dazzling white compared to the green grass. However, you go to bed that evening and wake up to the hillside covered with snow. Now the sheep appeared dingy and dull in comparison to the pure white snow. And so it is with man. Even our best appears very dirty compared to a holy God. And this analogy is actually light years in magnitude less in comparing man's goodness with God's.
I like that. That's good.
Yes. And you know, God is not sending people to hell. It's not God's decision. God gave man a free will to choose. Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the only way to heaven. There are those who reject what he said and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, if we don't believe that truth, then God gave us a warning. He said in Revelation 21:8, all unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire. We can see then why Jesus said in Matthew 12:37 that a man's own words will condemn them to hell. Man rejects the only provision for his sins and sends himself to hell by his own words. So it's not God. Man says, I don't believe the word. And God told us clearly, if you don't believe me, all unbelievers will be cast in the lake of fire. So God made it clear it's a person's own words.
Yes, that's so true. And, you know, also many state that God would not torture his children in hell. So they make that argument.
Well, those going to hell are not God's children. They are not in God's family. They have no relationship with him. They don't know him. Only those who repent and receive him as their Lord and Savior become his child. And it says so in Galatians 3:26, John 1:12, John 8:44, Romans 9:7-8, John 17:9, Ephesians 1:5, Ephesians 5:1, and many other verses make it clear that he's your creator. He's not your father till you invite in Jesus as your Savior. Then he becomes your father. Now you're in his family and you have the privilege to go to heaven.
I think that point really needs to be taught to Christians, Bill, because I've heard ministers from the pulpit and preachers on TV and say, you know, well, we're all God's children, and it's a misnomer, and it's giving people this sense, well, yeah, well, why would God have his children suffering and tortured in hell?
Right. Many scholars believe that. It's amazing. And here it's so clear in the scripture that you're not his child until you invite in Jesus as your Savior.
Yes.
Then he becomes your father. Remember, Jesus said there's a father of the devil, John 8:44. He says, your father is the devil, he told the Pharisees.
Yeah, so there are actually two fathers.
Right.
One is the devil and the other is God. And Satan is automatically a person's father if they have not repented and received Jesus into their heart.
That's right.
That's a great scripture you just gave in John 8:44, where Jesus did say to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil.
Right.
So the whole point is not everyone is God's child.
That's right.
And some people question God, you know, they say, even some Christians think that there are many ways to enter heaven.
All right. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read you the stat. Here, there's a study by Probe Ministries, and it discovered that 60% of those claiming to be born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39 believe that Buddha and Muhammad are equally valid paths to salvation. And this was in an article, August 24th of 2021. It was citing a study by Probe Ministries called Biblical Beliefs Nosedive, as 60% of Christians under 40 say that Jesus is not the only way to salvation.
So we see today a lot of people, believers or ones that call themselves born again, are believing there are many roads to heaven.
Right. And however, only one person paid for our sins, like you said earlier, died in our place and rose from the dead. If our sin is not dealt with, then we remain sinners and God will not allow sin into heaven, as Revelation 21:27 states. You know, John 8:24 says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins, Jesus said. And then in John 8:21, then Jesus said again to the Pharisees, I am going away, and this is when he was getting ready to go to heaven, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So Jesus just said to the Pharisees, they cannot come to heaven and that they'll die in their sins. So a person has to repent, believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in order to enter heaven. There's only one way, as Jesus said in John 14:6.
So there is only one way to heaven. We know that,
right,
as you said. And Peter also said he is the only way in Acts 4:12. Paul said he is the only way in 1 Timothy 2:5 and 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. John the Apostle said he is the only way in 1 John 2:22 and chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Jude, the book of Jude, said he is the only way in Jude 1:4. John the Baptist said he is the only way in John 3:36. The scripture makes it abundantly clear. There is only one way to heaven, not many ways.
Right. So many Christians believe otherwise today. That's really sad. Such a basic truth.
Yes, it's just like now if a person is dying of a disease and the doctor told them there is only one pill, one cure, a person would not complain that there is only one cure. No, they would be grateful there is a cure and they would take that pill.
Exactly.
That antidote.
So in the same way, we all have a fatal disease and it's called sin. The sin will kill us all and separate us from God and all good for all eternity. And hell is eternal torment, just as heaven is eternal bliss. So there is only one cure for sin, and it's Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.